Okay, I just got these photos this morning. This is a car. So I'm going to start. This is what Heather just sent me from Ukraine, okay? If anyone ever tells you that Eastern Europe has a dry heat, don't believe them. We are literally dripping with sweat all day with no AC. And the ancient elevator went on the fritz, so we walked up 8 stories to the apartment, which I'm thinking is better than meeting my demise in a rusting elevator. Okay? So there's the view from where she's staying, okay? Our relatives are amazing. She's with relatives there, but it's more than that. Unbelievably generous to the point where it's embarrassing, especially since they have very little. And the car there is that is I'll go back to the car. This hold on here. This car is 46 years old. But if you're in Ukraine, you got a car, you're considered like wealthy, you know, even if it's 46 years old. And the house that they moved into was built by Heather's great uncle's great grandfather. That's how long it's been in the family. You can't buy a house there unless it's been in the family forever, basically. Okay, and that's a furnace that's in the kitchen. It's a furnace kitchen. It's kind of different there. Bob knows more about it, okay, because he lived in Poland and he goes back there often. He kind of knows what's going on. We have borscht with every meal, and I swear they are trying to kill us with food. Okay, so there's a. That's Heather's mom right there. She took the picture. So there's the crew that she's staying with. But this I thought was really cool. You got to see this next picture here. Okay, I'm gonna put it up here. Where is it here? It's coming. It's coming. Where is it here? Okay. Now, she's included my whole family in this. So she tells Ben, my youth pastor's son in Woodstock, Ben, you will know your church is doing well when it has standing room only in the yard with the service broadcast to the outside. People stood for 2 hours to hear the service this morning in Lviv, Ukraine. Okay. So nice to hear from your wife, boy, especially just before you go here. I got to do this, Eric. You're doing a wonderful job, but I got the clicker here and this is on another show. So I got to do this and, oh yeah. It's possible, and Christine says I shouldn't announce this, so I'm not announcing this, okay? It's possible that next week, it's possible that next week, you won't, if you want to give, you won't have to make your checks out to Hope for Tomorrow, Four Square Gospel Church anymore. It's possible it could be next week that we, switch to our permanent name from now till Jesus comes, Christ Church Ottawa, and, that's kind of cool. How do we know if what we have is real? How do we know if what we have is real? How do we know if it isn't all hype? How do we know? You know, prove it to me. That kind of thing. Before the last 3 or 4 weeks we were in the old church, I did a series, I started doing a series called Why God, okay? And I preached on that 3 times, but there was so much crazy stuff going on that I don't think anybody is really listening to what I was preaching about. And I really feel that I'm going to be going back to that series and I'm going to be finishing it probably going into September. Because once we move into the Bible House and we start doing more outreach and we start seeing more people come and interacting with a lot more ministry going on, Sunday mornings, and you pray with us, okay, this is something we pray about because we want to make sure that Sunday mornings we are doing exactly what God wants us to do, okay, because His plans are always better. For the first year and a half, the whole thing's kind of been focused on us being what we need to be for the Lord, and my job as a pastor, according to Ephesians 4:11, is I'm not supposed to be doing ministry. I'm supposed to be training disciples to do ministry. That's Ephesians 4:11. I'm trying to get myself out of a job because I love doing ministry. But a church where only the pastor is doing ministry, that's a real dysfunctional church. Really dysfunctional, okay? And we encourage and train each other to do the work of ministry. What's the work of ministry? We're finding that all the time, okay? My role as a pastor is to make disciples, okay? Jesus said, go and make disciples. Don't just preach the gospel, make disciples. And he said, this is in Matthew 28:19, teaching them to obey. You're not going to teach anybody to obey unless you've won their confidence, unless they trust you, unless they know you're not some type of religious freak, okay? And the only way that you're ever going to teach or influence somebody is by your own lifestyle, equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because nobody can do this on their own. But if we're really equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit, other people are going to say, wow, I don't know what you got, but I want that. That teaches better than anything. That's the Holy Spirit teaching through you, okay? We're called to make disciples, not just converts, people that know Christ. And they themselves are disciples, and they are doing that, okay? So that's what we're in the process of doing. And there will probably be a shift in the next month or so from just disciple making to realizing that we've got a lot of people coming here who have never been here before, and they're going to want to hear and they're going to need to hear what this is all about. Okay. I still don't know how we're going to pull it off, but I sense that's the way the Lord's leading. And so we're trusting you to pray. So if people are coming here and they want to know what this is all about, we got to make sure. And if I gotta sell it, okay, if I gotta sell it, it's probably not real, okay? What do you do when you got a lousy product? You market the daylights out of it. What do you do when it's not that, you know, it's nothing too original compared to everybody else? You sell. Our whole economy is based on, at least in North America, buying stuff that we don't need, okay? But we get convinced we gotta have that. Man, if I don't get the new iPhone 10, I'm just, I'm a third class, citizen, okay? That's the way marketing works in North America. Things that are genuine, things that are real, things that don't have to be sold, you don't have to talk anybody into them, okay? And I think that knowing Christ and being alive in Him, and that He's risen from the dead and He still empowers people and does miracles, I think that's the greatest thing in the world. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. I don't feel I have to market it. I don't have to feel, but if you are really serving Jesus, if anything, He causes you to love. He causes you to be concerned. If you've got the real Holy Spirit within you, you're going to be looking out for the less fortunate. You're going to be looking out for people that have been ripped off. You're going to look out for people that everybody else has ignored and lied to, and you got a heart for them and you want to lift them up somehow. Okay? It's real. So when we minister to people, it's not because come and get what we're selling. It's because we live in a dark, confused, deceived world. And Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You can make you're the salt of the earth. I could go another sermon on what that means to be the salt of the earth. It purifies. It protects things from poison. Okay. It gives life. It protects. We are this. Okay. So when I say, is there evidence that the risen Christ is truly working amongst us? Okay? Okay? And do we have it? It's not that I'm trying to sell it. I just know that if you are trafficking in that, okay? If the risen Christ really is in your life, you are going to battle depression. You are going to battle the attacks of the enemy, because the Bible says the devil's real, okay? He will do everything to distract you from what our mission is to make a difference in people's lives. And there's many times, I don't care where you are in Jesus, that you're going to have struggles with this. Is this really real? So I don't think it's a bad thing to revisit this anymore. It's not a bad thing to revisit this anytime. Now I'm going to get into the more the apologetics and the evidence and, the more biblical stuff of it when we go into the Why Me God series. This is more us as a church here. What's going on here? How can you tell when something's real? Well, what about love? A group of people following Christ, do they have real love? Do we have that? Is it real? Okay? The kind of love that Jesus talks about. What about, here's something I think that's probably real. Do we have something, and I don't know nothing about it, but it's a great word, and I don't want to run away from it, and I know people that are like this, and if you got more people that are humble, oh my goodness, that's usually evidence that the real Holy Spirit is at work, okay? Is there humility here? How do you know if you have it? Maybe it's something that you're, now, how do you know if you have it? I don't know if I have it or not. That's not for me to judge. But I can be committed to it. I can be striving for it. I can be absolutely convinced that that's a precious, wonderful, powerful thing. And I will pursue that with all of my heart. Why? Because, you've been around humble people. Aren't they great to be around? Okay? You're going to trust somebody that's humble way more than you're going to trust an egomaniac. Somebody who's humble is going to have influence on your life. Okay? So we pursue humility with everything that is in us. Is it here?
How about commitment? Commitment to each other. You know, you see marriages thrive and they work when there's real commitment here. Churches, when they're real, when they're the church that Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will prevail against it. We're not talking about buildings. We're talking about this family here, okay? Often when you see the real deal, there's commitment, you know? You can screw up in this church and people are not going to abandon you, okay? Hopefully, that's the way it has to be, okay? And when we score victories, we rejoice in each other. And nobody's competing. You know, we rejoice in other people doing well. I'm thinking of that scripture in Philippians where it says, consider others better than yourselves. Is that real here? Is that real? We talk about, well, what's the example? The only example we have is this term we use. It's called, we use it, the Book of Acts Church. You've heard that line before. When we first started praying in my basement a year and a half ago, I didn't know what to do. I knew we needed to pray. And I don't know why, but remember when I pulled out this book, Revolution? Okay, some of you remember that, okay? I wasn't speaking, I wasn't preaching, but I saw a bunch of people who were the best of the best. And we had no place to go, and we didn't know what God was doing, so we started praying. And I really felt led, well, here's a story about the first 17 years of the church, in a biblical narrative where Gene Edwards kind of tells the story of what it was like in the first 17 years. Some of you might remember when I was reading, and I was reading the text, how boring can that be, okay? But that's what we felt led to do. And some of the stuff that I was reading out of this book was pretty scary, of where their priorities were, and how much they sacrificed. So, are we a Book of Acts church? Okay? How did they know that what they had was real? That's a really dumb question, John. Yeah, I think it is too. Miracles, healings, my goodness, all things were happening. Now, martyrdom too, okay? Some people were killed, okay? But nobody had to convince them that it was real. Okay? Because most of that first century church was comprised of people who had been first-hand accounts of what they'd seen. And they had no problem going to their death when they saw their Savior that they had all their hopes and dreams in, and then they had the Romans and the Pharisees conspire to literally rip their hearts out and stomp on it by killing their leader, and they had all scattered because they all thought, you know, we're next. Next thing you know, there's word that he's risen from the dead. He actually appears to them. He eats with them. He converses with them. You know that for the rest of their lives, there would be no fear anymore. No fear! Didn't matter, because they saw him tortured to death until he bled to death, and here he is with more power and more joy and more together than ever before. So they're all thinking in the back of mind, doesn't matter what they do to me, man. We're first-hand account here. They did not need to be convinced that it was real. But Jesus said, okay, blessed are those, he's kind of rebuking them because you've seen the miracles and you don't believe, okay? And then he makes this statement, the Gospels, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. That's us. I haven't seen miracles like that. I don't all that have all that stuff to go on. I don't believe that I have to go convincing things. But I have seen things, and this is personal, okay? This is personal. I have seen things that make me believe, okay? I might get into that a little bit, but I do want to read this biblical account, okay? They weren't afraid of threats. They were fearless. They were going for it. Here's the biblical account. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know what? The Bible doesn't tell you how to do church, but the stuff we have here is one of the only places in the book of Bible where it says this is what they did, okay? This is how they did church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, that's getting together, hanging out, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, that's sharing meals together, praying together. Everyone was filled in awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Look at this. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. Okay? Happen in group. You know? Things are cooking with this crew. And then, and this is the one I want to have some fun with. I hope it's not a personal bias. I hope God can really speak to you through this because, you know, this is one of the aspects of the Book of Acts Church that probably strikes me with more awe than anything. And boy, is it ever a missing ingredient in the 20th century church. There's enough miracles happening that, you know, that I believe. I'd love to see more. Boy, would I love to see more. But this ingredient, I hardly ever hear this one, ever see this one. How do they know they had the real deal? Well, they had something called, okay, all the kids are here. There's nobody under 8. Rachel, okay, Sue, you'll have to talk to her after the service, okay, kind of deprogram a little bit, okay? They had the fear factor. The fear factor. Okay? Some of you veterans know the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. And for those of you who don't know the story, I just read where often they would sell property and give to the poor. Ananias and Sapphira had some property, and they said, this is cool. So they sold the property, and they came and brought it to the apostles' feet, and they were going to give it to the poor. And they had everybody leading to believe that was the sale of the house. Well, they kept back a lot of money for themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. It's their property, okay? It's their business. But they told everybody that this was the entire sale. They lied, Peter says, they lied to the Holy Spirit. And to make a long story short, without going into detail, and read it this afternoon. It'll take you 5 minutes. Acts 5, rip through it. You'll read the entire story. I'm not going to take the time to do it. God strikes them dead in the middle of the gathering. Peter preaches and says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit, and you know, you're not going to walk out of here. Ananias drops dead. Sapphira comes in looking for her husband, and she says, is it not true that you sold property? Yeah, and that's the entire amount. Yes, it is. Okay, you're gone too. Kills them, okay? Peter doesn't kill God. He kills them. They're dead, okay? Now, I've talked about this in other services, okay? We've got social media and internet and everything like that, okay? I mean, can you imagine? Please do not disregard what happened there, because that was the olden days. There was no media. I'm sure word spread like wildfire, you know? People are dying in their service. Whoa, that's original. Haven't had that happen. How's that for an evidence of the Holy Spirit? But look what it says in Acts 5:13. No one else dare join them. Oh yeah, you don't want to go to that church. That's a place where God strikes people dead. Okay? I wonder what would happen if that was ever said of us. You know what we used to do as teenagers? I know I'm cocky now, but you wouldn't have wanted me around when I was a teenager. Well, I was a preacher's kid, okay? So like I knew everything. I was Mr. like head out to here. And my friends and I, we'd sit in church and we'd come across the scripture and we'd make a list of you know, which ones would God kill in our church first, you know, like at the top, okay? And we'd write these names down. Thankfully, nobody ever, I know, Christine, you can't imagine me being that way when I was that age, but I was, okay? Okay? I wonder, okay? No one else dared join them. Look at this, even though they were highly regarded by the people. You know what? If you're at a church where God kills people, I would think you walking around the city be, whoa, yeah, you'd be highly regarded. Okay? A fear factor. I don't know what else to call it. So here's Christ Church, right here, meeting at St. Anne's Catholic School. This is his imperfect yet holy, awesome church. His bride. Okay? How do we know what we have is real? Because you can be right about something and still be so wrong. Some of you know where I'm going with that. How? By the way you handle being right. Makes all the difference in the world. Because you can be right and still be such a jerk. Okay? God does not turn people into jerks. He turns jerks into people, okay? As his spirit has his way, there's a beautiful line we use in the four square faith, okay? I love this. We stole it from the Catholics, okay? A lot of good stuff you can steal from the Catholics, okay? Well, there's our church there, okay? That's kind of going to what we're look like in about an hour from now without the tents, okay? In the essentials, we have unity, okay? What are the essentials? Jesus was born of a virgin. He's coming. He heals people, okay? He fills people with the Holy Spirit. He changes their lives. The Bible's the Word of God. That's the essentials. In the non-essentials, we've got liberty. There's some people that actually have some different opinions than I do in this room. You know? I don't understand it, but we've got liberty, okay? We got liberty. That means that Toronto Maple Leaf fans are welcome in this congregation, okay? So we got liberty. We got liberty, okay? Look at that. See, they're blessed already. They can sense God in this place, okay? Okay? And in everything, love. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In everything, love. I hope. Now listen. This is kind of take stock time and kind of, you know, this is kind of us refocusing before we go over and have a barbecue. And there'll be people, I trust, that are coming that we're going to get the love. And we're not going to love them because we want them to come to our church. We're going to love them because Jesus ordered us to love them. Okay? And I don't know about you, but I like that. I really like that. I think it's wonderful. Okay? People are too smart to con, so why would we even try to con them? You know? Why would we do that way? That's not love. Okay? So we're going to get a chance to go over and love them. I hope we're governed by the principles of Christ and not our own religious prejudices. Did you hear that? I hope we're governed by the principles of Jesus Christ and not our own religious prejudice. But we don't have any religious prejudice. Oh, yeah. I can spend 3 minutes with you and I know which buttons to push. I can tell which religious prejudices are there, okay? And I already know there are people that have come to our services and because of their religious prejudice, I don't know if we want to be involved, you know? That's fine. We're going to love the daylights out of the body anyway. In fact, a matter of fact, I think God just might lead them back here because they're going to get loved unconditionally here. A much better chance they're going to get loved unconditionally here than someplace else that has religious prejudices, okay? And if you want to know what religious prejudices are, and I need to explain that to you, we got an Ask the Pastor coming up, and I'm going to be here for the barbecue. We can yak about that over burgers, okay? No problem. I don't mind explaining that at all. Do we really want to be governed by Christ? I know the obvious thing, yes, yes, yes. Hold on here. I want to talk about that fear factor a little bit, okay? Are you sure? Okay? Do we really want to be governed by Christ? Do we really want His Lordship in our lives? Okay? Because the real measuring stick of that question is not Him being Lord of Christ Church. He already is that. So when I ask, do we want Him to be Lord, it's not that. It's Him being Lord of my life. Him being Lord of my marriage. Him being Lord of my family, my texts, my conversation, my income, my savings, my possessions. Do I want Jesus to be Lord of my hopes? If He's Lord of my hopes and dreams, that means some of them might die or change. Now, I think I've learned that He loves me enough that there's been times when He has ripped my heart out and broken it, okay? And some of those things that He's done, I still don't understand. But other areas where He's ripped out my heart, it's because, John, I love you, and you didn't want to go down that road. And He's convinced me, yeah, it was way better to go this way. Okay? I'm more thick-headed than anybody in the room. Trust me. I'm a slow learner. But there's a lot of times when I just, okay, God, I trust You. Do I really want Him to be Lord of my hopes, my dreams? Do I want Him to be Lord of my secrets? You got no secrets with Him anyway. You may as well act and live your life like He's Lord over that. We cast our care on Him. Here's a good one. He knows your secrets and He still loves you. Isn't that nuts? I would have turned the switch off on you long ago. Okay? Now, just like I love my kids, but when my kids do things that I know are wrong, that will never change my love. But lots of times your kids will make you facepalm, you know? And I'm sure God facepalms a lot. And He tells us in His Word how He wants us to live. Why? Because He's trying to protect us from maximum pain, trying to get us through life with minimum scars, okay? Even people that were martyred, even people that fearlessly laid down their life for Christ, okay? There was minimum scarring in their life. There was a reward. They were so filled with God's love and so filled with the knowledge that nothing scared them, didn't bother them. Didn't bother. Could you imagine being so filled with the Holy Spirit that you're not afraid of scars anymore? You're not afraid of anything? That's what the Greek word witnesses means. Martyrs, okay? I've been hitting on this quite a bit lately, okay? Martyrs. Not afraid to be martyred. Not afraid of the cost of following Christ. So filled with the joy and the excitement of knowing Jesus. What did the world do to me? That's the real deal. You sure you want that? Okay? No. Lord of my schedule. Yeah, I'll fit you in, Jesus, sometime, okay? Do I really want to be Lord of my schedule? Story time. This is Tim Hortons on the corner of Mitch Owens and Riverside Road in Manotick. Do a lot of work here, okay? Now, Ken, he's right here. Ken and I, my bike was parked right there, and Ken and our table was right there on Friday afternoon, okay? Because I like to see whether somebody's stealing my bike or trying to steal my helmet, okay? Now, you remember what I said to you, Ken? I said, I got to go do, I got a bunch of stuff I had to get done before Heather left for the Ukraine at 7. So I was, I kind of created the impression, I got to go, okay? So, schedule. I'm an important guy, you know. I want to be reliable, okay?
Ken leaves. I walk across. As I'm getting ready for my bike, coming from this area, from where I take the picture, there's this 25-year-old cool-looking dude, okay? He's got his shirt down, open to nowhere, and he's got a girlfriend with him. And Ken and I had noticed them. We were looking from the window, and they're kind of playing tonsil hockey over here in front of their car here, okay? And like, they're really going for it. And I'm thinking, wow, they look like they're going to be separating, and she's going away on a trip or whatever, okay? So I did notice them. When Ken leaves, they start walking towards my bike, and this guy says, man, dude, I love your bike, man, that is so cool, blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, thank you, and I'm blah, 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 blah. Man, I'm thinking of getting a bike, man. I'm at a place in my life where I don't want to do it, and I want to get a bike. I said, they're death machines. They will kill you. You don't want to get one, okay? Because anybody that wants to do that, I want to communicate to them, this is not just a toy, it will kill you, okay? And that's just a smart way to bike, okay? When we get talking. Remember, he's Lord of my schedule. So I have the Holy Spirit say to me, now he doesn't speak to me in an audible voice, he doesn't have to. He gets through very clear, okay? But I get this powerful impression, you're going back into that coffee shop with this guy and you're going to stay there all afternoon talking to him if I keep you there. And I say, yes, sir, under my breath. So I say to him and his girlfriend, I says, you going for coffee? Yeah, let's go. So I go in here and we go back to this table, Ken, okay? Now there's three of us and I'm there for an hour and a half. Okay? I'm there for an hour and a half. I get to tell this guy about Jesus. I get to tell him about Christ Church. I get to tell him about the Bible. It's not preaching. This guy is just, it's like, I mean, it's the weirdest feeling. I mean, like, the guy's almost like hanging on every word that's coming out of my mouth. I felt like slapping him saying, are you okay? I was looking at this guy and I got the impression, man, it's like I had time when I was standing in line. I texted four people. I think Kara was one of them. Miriam was one of them. And Bob, okay, and another, my wife. I said, I'm here and I'm, pray now. Okay, so I had people praying, God, 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 okay. And he said he was going to be here this morning. I would tell the story just like this if Ryan was here. Okay, his name's Ryan Domingo. And his girlfriend, Kate, okay? And they know about the barbecue, again, about the website. We've been texting back and forth. I can't remember spending an hour and a half with someone. I've never met this guy before in my life. And he's at a pivotal time in his life where he's making all these decisions. He was kind of like raised Catholic. And we're talking about the Bible versus, you know, serving Jesus as opposed to being religious and how Jesus wasn't religious and how the religious people killed him and how the life of Christ. And I told him how wonderful you guys are too. Okay, so I stretched the truth a little bit. I did, okay? I told him, this group is amazing, okay? I came home, Christy was home, I came up lit up like a Christmas tree. I couldn't stop talking. This is one of the most exciting things. I couldn't believe it. Okay? Wouldn't have happened if Jesus wasn't Lord of my schedule. I could have justified getting on the bike and going, but man, forget it, man. It was incredible. You get enough people meeting together. Okay, if you get enough, I said, do you really want him to be Lord? Not just to the church. Yeah, we got that. We do that, you know. I mean when nobody's looking. I mean when you're on the phone. I mean when, well, nobody's going to know. God knows, okay? And that sounds oppressive. And it sounds like he's got a baseball bat going to hit you whenever he's wrong. You know, the positive is true. When you're spending time praying for somebody and nobody knows, God knows. When you're spending time going to visit somebody that's sick or when you're going, I'm believing God that one day we're going to have a church full of mentally handicapped people. Lots of Down syndrome people. Lots of people that can't pay back. You know, I want that because when you're pouring your life into people like that and you're loving them and they're your friends and nobody, God knows. And his Holy Spirit flows through. In a powerful, powerful way. I came across that scripture. I shared it with you in prayer meeting. It's Jeremiah. And we talked about, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. In Jeremiah 22, okay? I shared it with you. It said, what does it mean to know God? To look out and be merciful to the needy. That's what it means to know God. You can tell you know God when you want to pour your life into people that you're never going to pay, they're never going to pay back. Ever. Okay? Do we really want that? Do we really have that? You get enough people meeting together for whom Christ is truly Lord. And things will happen. Things will happen. Now, for those of you who are thinking, oh, everything's going to be wonderful and rosy. Oh, no, 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 no. Okay. When I say things will happen, that's neither good nor bad. That can be either. Things will happen. People will be afraid to join. We'll be ridiculed. We'll be taken advantage of. We'll be conned.
We ripped off. You're going to love this one. Please don't throw any chairs at me. People that are not tithing will start tithing.
Ah!
People who are tithing will give more, and they won't feel superior for it. Okay? Yeah. Grudges will melt. Joy will increase. Peace will increase. We'll enjoy Jesus more. We'll enjoy Jesus more. Listen, we'll enjoy Jesus more than what he can do for us. Wow. You ever tasted that one? It's pretty rich, boy. We'll enjoy Jesus more than what he can do for us. And it sounds crazy, but we'll all get along really well, too. Useless fears will dissolve. Is he Lord of my life? Is he Lord of my marriage? Is he Lord of my relationships? Is he Lord of my future? Is he Lord of my hopes and dreams? Is he Lord of my income? Is he Lord of my savings, my secrets, my schedule? Add your own thing there, because I can't, you know, think everything. Close your eyes. Father, Father, we want the real deal. We want the real deal, God. God, I'd rather lead 25 people and have the real deal than lead 5,000 as part of a religious hype machine, God. God, we want the real deal. We want this to be your church. We want it to be your, we want to be your servants, God. You don't treat us like servants, Lord, but God, that's our heart for you. Lord, to you, we're your bride, God. Be Lord. God, would you take away in this room right now? Would you take in the name of Jesus? In fact, I want to ask you something. Keep your eyes closed. Nobody looking around right now, okay? I'm not going to embarrass you, okay? I'm not going to center you out. I will not do that, so you could be honest before God. Is there anybody here this morning who you are afraid? You are afraid. And you know God's been talking about things in your life, and there is a fear. I can't have Jesus be Lord to that degree, okay? I'm afraid. Will you trust me enough that I won't violate your dignity, embarrass you, that you would raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm afraid to make him Lord to that degree. Hand up and hand down real quick, okay? Oh, man. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. To those people that raise their hands, not about your performance. I'll tell you why you're afraid. It's not because you're a bad person. You're afraid because you have not yet discovered how much Jesus loves you. You think you know how much he loves you. You don't know how much he loves you. And that's not a bad thing. He wants to show you. What drives out fear? Perfect love. His love is more perfect than anybody's. God, you saw the hands go up, Lord God. And Lord, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters that put their hands up. Lord, Lord, God, would you remove the barriers to your love in their life? There's probably barriers there. There may be things that are holding on to, God, that they have been deceived by thinking that there's no way you can love them that much. God, show them your love. Show them your love. Still nobody looking around. Anybody here that doesn't know what it means to have Jesus Christ alive in your heart? You've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You don't have a relationship with him. And you might be visiting, this you're new here, and you want, yeah, I want that. I want Jesus in my life. That's the starting point. We're able to make all kinds of claims on how good God is and what he's going to do because he's come into our lives. And he started something. If he hasn't come into your life, if you've never invited him, we're not talking about joining a church. We're talking about making Christ the Lord of our lives. If you haven't done that and you want to make that right and you want to pray with me, and again, I will not embarrass you, but if you want to make that right this morning, you can put your hand up right now. And before you leave this room, I will get to you and we'll pray. Okay?